This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on a Cowboys Monday. Welcome in here on 105.3 The Fan. Jenna Berlancher, service salute to you. There's Broadus, former Cowboys scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander is in the pimp cup over there at Master Control. He's ready for the storm. He's ready for some fall weather. And you look outside, we're under a tornado watch. As you do have Woolchuck and Chia follow here, your Nosebleed Brothers and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us. 105 through thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. How are we doing today, boys? Everybody good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing good.
We're doing well. We're at the acceptance phase,
average,
aren't we?
Yeah.
Right?
No outrage.
No outrage. Just acceptance.
There's always a little outrage in me.
Some sadness.
A little disappointed.
A little depression.
Disappointed that I thought, you know, coming out of this thing, coming out of the training camp, that there'd be a little bit different with some of the positions and the way the guys were going to play.
I feel like we've processed that, though.
I just
right around the time Dak voiced it all for everybody to see yesterday.
Yeah. You felt like that, well, maybe they'll be able to do some things with the offensive line. You know, maybe they'll be able to do some things with the defensive line. They got to retool just so many
areas. Times it looked better.
Yeah.
Outside of a couple busted coverages. I mean, they were getting good running yards per attempt with Rico. You know, they outgained them. More passing yards and more rushing yards.
It just like I said earlier to you guys, they just walk such a thin line with how, you know, it's
yeah, all those penalties.
The penalties, and then they get a good call, and then they don't execute the play, and then they get a terrible call, then they get some bad luck, and then, you know, there's just so many things.
And they get a fumble and run a fourth and one play.
You know, speaking of fumble, there was a point in this game yesterday where they threw a swing to Bijan Robinson, and it was ruled a lateral, a running play. He fumbles it, and nobody goes after the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally could get the ball at the Atlanta 20-yard line if you just hustle and be a little aware.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah, you're thinking like, oh, they called it a catch and a fumble. No, it was a backwards pass, like a run.
Live ball.
And all, you know, Hooker had to just dive in there and just take the ball away. And, you know, it's on the ground. It literally is between the legs of Bijan Robinson sitting on the ground. And everybody just kind of stops. You know, it's just no football awareness, no football IQ. It's like a lateral. Go get it. Ball's on the ground. Go tackle. Go get that ball. And, you know, it's stuff like that, attention to details. And you wonder why. Yeah, you got a three-game losing streak because you just don't do enough to win games. You don't do the right things to win games.
A very forgettable season is what it's turning into. The 469 says, fortunately, Wooly's baby girl will be too young to remember her first year in this world as a Cowboy fan. That's a silver and blue lining if I've ever heard of one.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's go glass half full today, man.
That pepping you up, Woolchuck?
And I hope that this thing gets better, you know, moving forward for her. But, yeah, she won't remember this, and that's great news.
Yeah.
That is a little bit of positivity. I thought that play might have been an incompletion.
No.
But was it actually a lateral?
Yes, it was.
It was.
It was actually ruling on the field was a lateral, and when I was watching, I'm like, get on the ball. I remember I was screaming, get on the ball, because they throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a fumble. Why am I sitting here in a studio yelling at the screen and guys are on and
you're a passionate football guy.
And everybody's just kind of like, oh, hey, you know, what's going on? It's an incomplete.
No, it's maddening.
That's little attention to detail. That you go in there, if you're a hooker and you dive and go get the ball, and they've got a lot of problems. I'm just saying, this was one of them I noticed. Mm-hmm. When you start to talk about, you know, how about another one of getting Turpin to the wall around the corner, and he just goes out of bounds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
they're not locked in.
I mean, just find, you know, find, keep your balance and go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that whole thing with the ball, you know, like Bijan Robinson just sitting on the ground with the ball down on the ground. Just go dive in there. Even if the official says, oh, it's incomplete, go get that ball. You rip that ball away or take that ball from Bijan Robinson. That's your ball on the 20-yard line.
They just don't play with that edge. They don't play with that edge.
No, that's what I'm saying. No. That's just football intelligence. It's football awareness. You know, and we're sitting there expecting them to win games when you don't play with that?
Well, they can't get lined up. I mean, that's an issue.
Or they can't get lined up.
I mean, holy hell.
How many people called in last night? Because I think of the calls that I heard in the post game, a lot of them were, it feels like I'm watching a middle school or high school team.
Yeah. There were a couple of those last night.
Last night. And it's like, you're 100% right.
No, I mean, the pre-snap penalties, and this is something that the entire Mike McCarthy era, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
This isn't just a now. Like, they've been in the bottom 10, bottom 5 of penalties per game for a team the entire time he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's just way, way worse because you're not actually getting 12 wins a season to where you're kind of like, well, all right, you're getting 10 penalties a game, but you're winning. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Now when you're 3-5 and everything's going to hell, it's like, well, gosh, this is a really undisciplined team. Well, it's kind of been an undisciplined team.
The best they've ever finished is 23rd. In penalties.
Holy cow.
It's the best.
In the McCarthy era.
In the McCarthy era. Yeah.
I mean, so you could say that this team, you know, McCarthy's lost this team, but it's been bad all along. Now they're just a little less experienced and Tyler Guyton's out there giving you two penalties a game, it feels like.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, the entire offensive line had moments where you're completely beside yourself.
The twist stunt stuff has really, really been a problem for these guys. Atlanta has really no pass rush. We talked about it all week. And what they did was
back-to-back sacks.
They figured out, well, the first one was on Dak.
Totally.
I mean, he's got two options in that. And we'll get into it 3-40 in Krusty's corner. But I'll tell you this. He had an option of throwing the ball in the flat to Dowdle, or he could have taken the wheel down the sidelines to Tolbert. He had two options. And it wasn't and he's holding the ball. Now he's asking Guyton to hold his block even longer than he normally Guyton does. And now he's moving in the pocket, and you're sitting there going, bro, you've got to either throw the ball short in the flat or you've got to take the shot on the wheel.
Yeah.
You got to do that. You can't come. You don't have time to go back and look at what's going on the backside. Yeah, the Falcons have that because you got no pass rush. Mm-hmm. They're able to get McLeod all the way across the field and get him on Wilson, who knows exactly what's about to happen to him.
Yeah.
Wilson knows that man's his. Whoever's coming inside, his eyes are looking, but he drifts to his right, and now
Wilson's pants might as well have been down at his ankles in that play.
He knew exactly.
And his cleats tied together.
So he knew exactly what was about to happen to him. And that's sad. That he saw it because you could see from the end zone copy, his eyes immediately go to the other opposite direction looking for the crosser because he knows, and Greg Olsen, I miss Greg Olsen doing games.
By the way. He really is phenomenal.
He described that play and I'm thinking, he's absolutely right, especially when you see the end zone copy and you see Wilson's head looking over there knowing that that guy coming across the field is going to be his guy.
Yeah. No, thankfully, the Tom Brady crew just decided they'd seen enough of the Cowboys or they wanted to mix that thing up, but to get reacquainted with Greg Olsen was terrific.
Yeah, now, he's a great guy.
It's gone from bad to worse. If you missed it, about an hour ago came the report from Ian Rappaport that it's a pulled hammy. And it's going to be multiple weeks. Could go on the IR there for Dak Prescott. It just pushes your win probabilities down significantly. I don't know. Maybe Cooper Rush will get hot. I don't think we're going to see Trey Lance.
No, you probably won't.
They want to stay competitive and try to give you at least a fun game yesterday. I mean, they scored in the 20s. They had a chance to win it the last couple of minutes. Overall, like an entertainment standpoint, you kind of take it, even though
ball went down the field.
Yeah,
there was a chance. But there was never a point, even though the scoreboard was like, you're within striking distance like the whole time. You never once felt like you had a chance or two that the Falcons were in any way stressed out or uncomfortable.
Like, yeah, but don't you agree that the Cowboys will like try to play every game to the max competitiveness to keep fans interested?
I
just as a way of approaching the Trey Lance discussion.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they're not gonna just go ahead and tank it. I mean, that's not
no. They can naturally just lose games.
You know, I agree with you 100% on
other
that.
Other than Carolina and New York,
yeah, they're not. There's not a game, two games on the schedule that you look at. I mean, I'd love to see some Trey Lance wrinkles in there, though. I mean, maybe you put Trey Lance in, try and utilize those legs every now and then. You know, I mean, I do. I agree with you. I think they're going to rock with Cooper Rush.
Would all go with Trey Lance, though, right?
Yes, it would be so fun. Yeah, let's see what this game plan can do.
It'd make it more entertaining, just from a viewership, you know, role of this, but. I mean, they're screwed now. I'd be way more excited to possibly get Trey Lance if they didn't sign Dak. Okay,
yeah.
Now let's see what you got with Trey Lance.
Man, if they had pushed the Dak decision until now, you could evaluate how much worse it is with Cooper Rush. I don't think it's going to be massively worse. Like, there's some things that Cooper Rush does better than Dak Prescott. I'm not saying I would start him or anything like that. Dak is better. But, man, with the injuries. And now, you know, I think you got to consider with the injuries, like, as he's getting older, is this a sign of, you know, his body just being a little bit misaligned as a result of the catastrophic lower leg injury? You know, that's what happened to me. And at first, the first couple of years after ankle reconstruction, I noticed I had a little bit of a limp and sometimes my foot would hurt. 5 years later, my knee started to hurt. 5 years after that, my hip started to hurt, you know, and I feel like you go back and you look at the calf from a couple of years back, you look at the shoulder from a couple of years back, and these explosive athletic moments where he's trying to do something, it seems like more and more that's resulting in an injury, you know? And I wonder if, you know, the off-season boot that he was in, you know, was a sign of, oh, I was working hard in the offseason doing this and we got a tweak or we got an injury, you know? And now, bang, first game running. Injury, you know, so
I had a hard time finding when that hamstring was, you know,
he said it was the run before the throw.
I know that there were two runs that were for 5 yards and,
right.
and one of them, he popped right up.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
second one, the film kind of cut off on him a little early. He was laying on the ground and they were trying to help him up.
I was guessing that was the one.
There was 2 5-yard runs that there were. I mean, the long run, he appeared fine. Good mobility on the first run. And then the second run, like I said, I was trying to determine, is he getting up kind of gingerly? You know, is it looking like? But to me, the way that he followed through on the pass seemed like to me that was where this thing kind of went a little south.
Would it be possible for you to pull up? Will Next Gen give you what he topped out at on his 22-yarder?
Yeah, sure they will.
Which is the longest run the Cowboys have had all year.
Yeah, it was a seminal moment. We talked about it actually in the pregame show. Like, will the Cowboys, they're the only team without a rush of 20 or more yards. Nope. We felt like with this being a Rico game, you have a little bit more of an opportunity there. But nope, it wasn't Rico.
It was Dak.
It was a very laborious 20-plus yard scamper there from Dak. I would love to know what he topped out at.
But there's no way the Cowboys would sign him if this had played out, right?
I can't fully say that, but I do think it would be so loud. Like maybe you say it was 50-50 in September when they signed him, you'd probably be looking at it being, gosh, 85-15, overwhelming. There's no way you can do this. And maybe it gets loud enough to be like the Joneses be like, okay, we can't do this. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that locally the fan base would be looking at the Dak thing maybe differently than a team out there in free agency. Maybe it would just make it a point that, you know, you kind of take for granted what you have, and another team would appreciate him quite a bit more. But I would like to think that if this played out, the Cowboys wouldn't still give him or do a market setting contract with him. As far as Zeke, a lot going on with that, man. I'm just glad Rico was in there. You know, I feel kind of vindicated. That was a nice day running the football, made a couple of plays in the passing game as well. I know it can be tough for a great maybe to see that when he's washed and you know, handle it, still putting the team first. I don't know where Zeke's attitude is when it comes to approaching being a teammate on these Cowboys, but it seems like, you know, a lot of careers end ugly, and this would just be a continuation of that. That's what I think we're looking at right now.
18.43 miles per hour on that 22-yard run.
That's pretty strong.
Not bad.
That's pretty strong.
Not
man.
Bad.
I couldn't run 18.
I was going to guess in the 17s.
18.43. Yep. Distance covered. He covered 47 yards.
Man, it'd be so funny to get my sprint time. I think I might be in single digits right now, boys.
Bravo on the efficiency on that. Broadus is figuring out how to work a computer now. Yeah. He's a metrics guy. He's a numbers guy. I mean, you are dialed, bro.
Yeah, I pulled up all the top speeds. Yeah, we're good.
What do you guys know about Zeke?
I think it's just a sad situation.
It is a sad situation. I don't know that his role is one that he thought that he was going to have when he signed here.
Did he think he was going to be the bell cow? Well, I don't know. That feels like either Jerry sold him on something that was as impossible as anything to be true, which is you're going to be our guy and you're going to be getting 15-plus touches. We look at you like the Ravens look at Derrick Henry. We look at you like the Eagles look at Saquon Barkley. If they did that, God help us. But to me, he's getting maybe a touch more of the looks than you would have anticipated.
I kind of feel like, too, that he knew who Rico Dowdle was. So he came here with the expectations that, hey, I'm a better player than Rico Dowdle.
There's no way he's better.
Rico will get hurt or something.
No, that's probably what he came in. I don't think anybody had to sell him on anything. I think he just looked at this situation as, well, if they think that Rico Dowdle is the number one back, then I'll surely be better than him. I think there's a lot of things to this whole thing with Ezekiel Elliott. And I think a lot of it is, there's things that he's dealing with on the field. There's off the field stuff that he's dealing with too, that they need to kind of get squared up and hopefully that works out for him.
Yeah. It's tough. When a guy is, unavailable or missing practice, I think as an organization, you want to, be tough on him. And when he's a legend, it puts you in a tough spot, because if there is sensitive information, you're not just going to air all of his dirty laundry.
Right.
At the same time, you don't want to put him in the game, because that sets a horrible precedent for treating star players or favorites differently. And I can imagine the Cowboys just want the story to go away at this point. And, they had a clean separation at the end of 2022. Maybe that's a hard lesson learned.
Clean right up until that very last play. They couldn't let him be on his back as a center.
And speaking of that, I hope Zeke can come back in December, or early January, a week 18 type of goodbye game. But usually legends don't get a chance to go out there the way they want.
This we'll see. This could be something mutually that they agree that, hey, this is not going to work out, and we're going to.
He might not play another snap for that.
Yeah,
the final game of the season is just paying homage to Zach Martin and Ezekiel Elliott, and you run to the right for negative yards for four quarters.
We'll give you 20 carries for 32 yards, a proper goodbye.
You salute your legends.
Okay, NFL trade deadline primer, G-bag of the day coming up, Wolchek. That sound good to you?
Yeah, let's do it. We got all the rumorooskies on the trade deadline coming up next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Welcome back, Nation. Happy Cowboys Monday to you. Hope you're getting through best you can. Heck of a storm blowing through. Best of luck to you. I know there's a tornado watch across most of North Texas, so please do stay safe. It's time now for an NFL trade deadline primer. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Zach.
Diana Rossini of The Athletic has a trade deadline rumorooski, things that she's hearing around the league about teams and players. Stephen Jones did say earlier with KMC that, all possibilities really are open, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a move that would be for this year. Could be for a big picture type of move, which I would be for, considering the lack of free agency this team does. Like, anything you can do to kind of check off a box on, okay, that's maybe not a need, maybe we filled this, I'm okay with doing that. But we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. As for the Lions, my gosh, how incredible have they been, even with the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. They've been brilliant. They got another big win yesterday going on the road to Green Bay, and they seem to be the favorites right now. Numerous teams around the league, including the Cleveland Browns, are telling Diana Rossini that they're probably trading Za'Darius Smith, their edge rusher, to Detroit. So that would be somebody to help them out there as they look to make the Super Bowl and be NFC champs. It is Za'Darius Smith to the Lions. That's the latest rumor in the NFC, possibly one to monitor.
That's a great pick. I mean, if you have a good, solid defense and all you need is a little bit more pressure off the edge, I think Za'Darius is your guy.
And he knows the division.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I mean, whether it's him or somebody, I think if you're talking about power ranking the teams that most need to make a move, I would say it is Detroit. Like, you are definitely a championship football team here, and a pass rush is going to be needed come playoff time. You got to make a move.
Then there's the Bengals of Cincinnati. All of a sudden, they were 3-5. Joe Burrow has 5 touchdowns yesterday, and they're one of the teams that are very interested. There's a strong belief that the team intends to go for it here at the trade deadline. They want to get some edge help for Trey Hendrickson, who had an amazing game yesterday. They also, according to Diana Rossini, will not be trading T. Higgins. I've seen a lot of chatter on Twitter about some teams that possibly could be the favorites to land T. Higgins. Doesn't seem as though Cincinnati wants to trade him, but they are looking to also add a defensive end.
I saw an incredible nugget from Rossini about the Bengals. They have only acquired 2 players via trade in 52 years.
Yeah. They don't trade.
No.
But this is going to change now.
I remember like when I was in the league and I would call and check, you know, you call all the teams just to check in with them and stuff. And we had a player traded, James Whalen, tight end. We had player James Whalen traded to Cincinnati for TJ Husmanzada. And I talked to Jim Lippincott, their director of player personnel at the time. I said, Jimmy, hey, we're interested. We're moving James Whalen. You interested? He said, hey, let me get back with you. And he said, would you be interested in TJ Husmanzada? And I said, you want to turn in the papers? You want me to turn in the papers on that? Because I knew that we were moving on from Whalen, but TJ Husmanzada was a guy that we kind of liked. And Jimmy goes, okay, well, let me call you back. And I'm like, I put the phone down. I went, damn it.
Yep.
I was too anxious.
Yeah.
Too anxious on that one. But they circled back, and we didn't make the trade. And Husmanzada played pretty well for them.
Ended up being a really good player for them.
But yeah, but that is the only time that I ever got Cincinnati to even talk about wanting to do something. There would be times you wouldn't even call them because you knew they weren't going to.
Just not, yeah. They weren't just a waste of time. Well, they might end up making a deal with the Giants. Giants sitting in last place in the NFCs. They're shopping their young edge rusher, Azeez Ojulari. He's 24 years old. Teams are keeping an eye on him, including Cincinnati, Arizona, and Atlanta are the other teams that are monitoring what goes down with Azeez Ojulari. Then the Commanders. Commanders right now, 7-2. They're looking really, really good. They're calling around in search of a corner. They want some corner help. They know that's a weakness. They want to match up with the Eagles. They've got some really talented wide receivers.
Match made in heaven, dude. Give them digs.
That's kind of what I'm looking at here. I mean, if you're the Cowboys, you need to figure out the salary cap deal. And Deron Bland, who knows with this foot. I'm hopeful he's able to come back at some point this season, but you're not going to be able to pay both of them. Diggs has a good relationship with DQ. If you wanted to make a move right now, that might be something. I know it's interdivision, but yeah, could I get a second round pick for Trayvon Diggs?
Man, I just feel a little bit different about him ever since that D's Nuts whole narrative storyline last week. He's got a special place in my heart now. Yeah. You know,
keep him home.
But I'm up for anything. You know, I want to imagine ways that you can get this thing turned around in a hurry and get your cap in order. And some of the decisions that they've made, you know, have really put it behind the eight ball. And you compound their salary cap situation with their lack of draft success over the last 2 years. If you're going to be a draft and develop team, you have to dominate the draft. And highly paid veterans for draft picks is how you kickstart a rebuild in every sport, you know? So I think it's another missed opportunity for this Cowboys team building philosophy, Wolchek.
For a second round pick, I'm in on that.
Yeah, I'd be pretty open to the conversation as well. Chiefs are interested in adding.
What's our hit for trading him? By the way, I'll look that up. Please continue.
Yeah. And I'm sure there would be some part of that. And you know, the team that if it was Washington, there would have to be some type of financial gain there for them. I'm sure as well, because that is a pretty. I mean, now it's not looking like a terrible contract since other corners have been traded. You do have Kansas City, who's in the market trying to add another player. Might be Marshawn Lattimore. Since New Orleans is a team that's kind of selling right now, there's a lot of chatter about Kansas City. Maybe they're looking to add a corner. Mm. They've already added some wide receiver help.
And let me add to this, Tony Pollard leading the NFL now in yards after contact. Maybe a little patience with Diggs coming back from the ACL, maybe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as a cover corner, Diggs is a good player. The physicality aspect of it, we know that's something that's working throughout his career.
It's a $15.7 million cap hit if you trade him.
For this year?
Yeah. Well, it's dead money is what it turns out to be. I don't know. It's this year, next year, but yeah,
they're flooded with the dead money.
$15.7 million. That's what.
Yeah,
it says.
I think that's this year because it started the season with $28 million dead cap. So now at this point in the season, prorated, it's probably $15 million. So that would make sense.
Is there anything he could have done on that catch from Drake London? Man, what a snack!
Oh, I thought that was a beautiful throw and catch it there.
Drake London has been just wearing people out down in the red zone.
He's the most targeted player. We mm-hmm. talked about it. Like, that's a guy when you get into the red zone, watch what they do with Drake London. Do you decide to double him? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we'll trust our big money corner.
I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, and then he gets hurt, and they still
Cousins
end up
knows right where to put it though. Well.
He does. I mean, the ball. I think that was pretty much an unguardable throw and catch. But hey, maybe turn around. At least give yourself an opportunity to locate the football.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Mm-hmm. Time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
My God. If you look outside, it looks like Big Godzilla is coming right now, right?
Holy cow.
Like Mesquite. Big Godzilla is just going to poke outside of downtown Dallas. You just see that head?
Yeah.
He's just going to shoot that little laser stuff out. Blow up a building.
I feel like I'm dodging lightning bolts over here.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel bad for my little puppies. They don't like like the rain. They bark at the thunderstorms. All right, anyway, our winner right here so far comes from the KMC Masterpiece. I don't know how many days this is at this point.
Looking for five.
Got my back like that, bro. I like that.
Yep, yes, sir.
Yeah, they're talking to the COO of the Dallas Cowboys. His name is Stephen Jones, and they're asking him about these nuts.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We will get back with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys. Man, yeah. He is definitely not up for a good nuts conversation like his dad, you know?
Yeah. 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 Hey, Cowboy fans, look out!
They call it Stormy Monday.
Oh. Boy, that was a bad show in Atlanta.
Tuesday's just as bad.
Yes, it is.
Just as bad.
Wednesday's worse. Let me see what else I got for you boys.
They call it Stormy Monday.
Can't talk over Bobby Blue Bland like that. All right, this might hit for you, Mr. Dawson.
Oh, yeah?
The General Gavin Dawson. You are a Little League coach. We have a Little League coach right here who has an intervention with his team because they like to keep their fingers in their nose like clay.
But here's the thing. Telling you right now. The booger eating has got to stop. We've seen a couple of boogers being picked, a couple of boogers being eaten, and I'm not mentioning no names, okay? Not going to call you out, but the booger eating has got to stop, okay? You are 8 years old. Mm. You do not eat your boogers anymore.
I tell you right now, the booger eating has got to stop. I've seen enough booger eating.
Booger eating?
Why does that sound like Peyton Manning, though? Yeah.
The booger eating?
Booger eating? Yeah.
It's got to stop.
I was hoping at the end he was going to say, you guys are 18 years old.
Yeah.
Last game, varsity high school football team. And this is what you're doing.
Stop the booger eating.
Yeah,
my team has, we whooped booger eating a couple of years ago.
Good for y'all,
kicked
man.
Its ass, didn't you? You said you kicked its ass.
Now they're 13. I'm having to police boy talk.
Oh.
Drive me crazy.
Well, that's even worse.
Bring back the booger.
They can't stay focused on the drill.
What does that mean?
Really?
They're just like, oh, she's dating this guy and I'm going to look dating this guy.
I'm boy crazy.
I'm like,
it's gassers time at that point.
And ladies,
to the fence.
Go touch that tree. Bring me back some bark.
Come on, hurry up and do it.
That's what's waiting for him this week.
I believe it.
Get some lunges going.
The rain might save him tomorrow, though.
Shout out to the rain. Doing your thing out here. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was a church day. I pray, yes, I pray that you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Bishop Freddie Haynes. Bishop. I'm giving him all types of. He's everything. Hope. Humanitarian, freedom fighter, truth teller. I don't know, man. Just everything.
Soothsayer?
A soothsayer. He's all of it. A bald-headed man, too. It shines up there with all them lights. Oh, man, it looks so amazing. I know he polishes that joint before he steps out.
I had two little girls. I was pushing my basket in the supermarket. Little girl goes, look how shiny his head is. And I'm like, I turn around and go, thank you. Yeah. They're like, oh, they ran away.
Oh, my gosh. He heard us.
Like, thank you.
Got a little turtle polish on this damn thing. Yeah. This preacher right here says man should not be alone.
We got a lot of preachers, ministers, bishops, pastors, elders, apostles that are single and not ready to mingle. You not fooling nobody but your own self. God said it's not good for man to be alone. You're either gay or choking the chicken. Oh, God wow. said it's not
what
good that man should be alone.
He cut right to the chase there. I mean,
goodness.
No points for subulty.
Yeah. No. What all the single guys in the church do? Just kind of like look down at that point?
Yeah.
So maybe. You put your church finger off and just go and walk on out of there.
I think I left my car in the roundabout. My car's in the roundabout parking area. Yeah.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Mr. Dawson.
Yes, sir.
It got real serious for you on Friday. Technical issues.
Yes, yes. Oh. I've been waiting to hear this. Right.
When
this
boss
funny.
Man Tim came through, he switched something on the board. I was in the bathroom at the time, and he came back and did something.
Yes. He was trying to prank you. He was trying to prank you.
He was trying to prank me.
Birthday prank.
Hey, guy. He got Dawson. Let me tell you something. If broadcasting is not perfect, Mr. Dawson will let you know. He will let you know. I've seen it a few times, and it is hilarious. Hello, broadcasting. Hello. I've seen you hit the microphone. Hello, broadcasting.
Are we
hello.
On?
Are we on? Lucius,
oh, my gosh.
Hello. Say something to me. Hello.
Hello? Can you hear me?
He gets guilty. Real serious.
Yeah.
And it happened on Friday.
When they could have brought him back. So, yeah, I'm definitely surprised.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram here with you, talking Cowboys. Did I just lose my mic? You guys can hear me? I can't hear me.
Check, check.
I got you. What I happened? Can hear you.
Are we on? Guys, can I get can anybody hear anything? Carter, can you hear me? You can hear me. Okay, we cannot hear anything. All right, but we do have.
It's okay. We just lost our.
Oh, Nick, boom, there
we're
go.
Back. It's
thank
back.
You.
Woo! We're back.
That was wild.
That was wild.
Carter, can you hear me? Hello. Walter, Carter. Zach, so, say something. Hello, I'm looking right hello. At you. Hello.
Damn it, I'm sorry. And I look up, of course, Lucius isn't there. Tim's walking away, and Carter's talking to Tim.
Yeah.
Like crap.
Hello, Lucius. Hello.
Hello.
That's awesome.
You feel like you're
Eric, hello, I'm looking right at you. Eric, can you hear me?
Can anybody hear me?
Good God.
Poor Nick Harris is on the phone. Like, I can hear everything that's going on right now, but we can't hear you.
We were definitely not there for you in that moment.
Yes. Is it Dawson getting serious? Is it preacher says man should not be alone? Or, choke me the chicken, is it coach has intervention with team, booger eating has to stop? Or is it... I think Lucia said the KMC Master Beast.
Oh, man.
Which yeah. might be an even better name.
Yeah.
I dig it. That's our four-time champ. Looking
I
for
am your Master Beast.
Yes.
The Master Beast.
Okay, so I'll vote for our four-time champ looking for five, Chief.
Yeah, samesies.
Lucius.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. I dropped my papers. I'm going with the preacher.
It's 2-1, Wolchuk.
I'll go with the Dawson Freakout.
Brian?
I'll vote for Stephen Jones.
By a score of 3-1-1, and now immortalized in G-Bag Nation history and a five-time G-Bag of the Day champion, it is Stephen Jones with the KMC Master Beast. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up next here, gentlemen, we have Chief. What's the
yeah,
score?
Yeah, best of the weekend. We got a sports quote, a tastemaker, and a playmaker next year in the nation.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a terrific day. It's coming up at 3 o'clock. It'll be time for the Mike McCarthy press conference. We'll talk about some of the big storylines coming out of last night's loss as we no doubt stall for time. As maybe he'll join us 3:10, 3:15, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a delay a game won't surprise anybody.
Yeah. Why should his lack of discipline on the play clock surprise us. It's time, though, for the best of the weekend. Here's the Chief.
Thank you very much. It's is there any question in anyone's mind if I go all in with Saquon Barkley's spin, crazy, reverse, hurdle, next-level Madden play? Is there any other play that you could even lob out there that would be a competitor for play of the weekend?
I don't think so.
Anything jump out to you guys?
That Thursday night catch, didn't Wilson have a one?
Garrett Wilson, okay, yeah, that's a good pull. Badass. And Broadus, of course, remembers that because he took a Survivor L that night.
Yeah,
I did.
We won't get to Walchuk's L, at least not right now. We'll get to the crying Titans coach a little bit later. And, of course, Walchuk is... he's going to barrel into Friday with a bet payoff ready to go. He's going to stay strapped up. He's going to be crotch first.
Maybe I'll start boycotting this too. Yeah, like the other two schmoes on the show.
I'll tell you what, Walchuk, that's a good attitude to have.
Yeah.
You know, it really, let's Chiafalo pay these bets off for us. I don't care.
By boycott, you mean mental health break?
Thank you very much.
Dawson, I think you're on to something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to be inactive, and you won't be traveling with the team. And it is not for disciplinary reasons, but we are worried about your mental health.
Worried about my mental health.
You know, I'm sure at some point.
Some guys skip meetings. Some guys skip payoffs.
At some point, I'll rally, and I'll have a flurry, and it'll be glorious. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I don't want to shortchange the audience by doing a bet payoff now, and my heart's not in it, to be honest with you.
I totally agree with Dawson on this point.
Apparently, I speak for Brian as well.
A couple of damn cowards.
Yeah. You're either all in or you're all out, boys. All right. Well,
count me all in then.
I'll tell you what, 469 with a good point. Same game, Trevon Walker of the Jaguars with the fumble recovery, and then he ends up house calling it.
Yes, that was the one where I had questions. Was that when Barkley looked like he got tripped?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a down by contact.
We thought it was down by contact.
It should have been.
I think they missed that one, didn't they?
I think they did too.
But I think they missed one, but it was still...
I was for it. I was for a Jags rally.
I was too. Yeah, I was too. But the Saquon play was just out of this world ridiculous, and salute to him for it. Now, also, I would say your tastemaker of the weekend has to go to college football's own Incarnate Ward and their wide receiver who...
Is it Word?
Excuse me. I said Ward. I'm sorry. I was thinking about Hines Ward in that moment. There. Yeah, I was thinking about Hines.
Great alumni.
Hines Ward.
But the Incarnate Word wide receiver scores like a 50-yard touchdown, and it's fantastic. And then he does the first-of-its-kind celebration that involves him doing a headstand. He does like a somersault, but he catches himself and he literally stands on his head. He doesn't do a handstand. He puts his hands down to his side like he's like a penguin that's going to waddle, except he is standing on his head for a period of time before then falling into a nice little front
flip. The only headstand with no hands bracing?
Yes, yeah, dude.
Incredible.
Didn't yesterday St. Brown do that?
Drake London did it.
Drake London's done it too.
Yes, and that's why he's a tastemaker, because this went viral, and unfortunately the referee in the moment flagged it. Like, come on, dude. This is a cool celebration.
Yeah, let people have fun. This is football.
Yes, it is. But then it was awesome, yes, because then that happens on Saturday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, you have Drake London scoring on Trevon Diggs and doing the exact same celebration, paying homage, and then you had St. Brown doing it on what was an epic pitch and catch, fourth down, holy-esque kind of moment there, going for it for the Lions once again, being rewarded for being aggressive. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. It's a viral celebration. There was another viral celebration that went down, and I didn't have Carter put this up, but the dude that, what was he doing? He was doing like some samurai spin deal. He jumps and then he hyperextends his knee in a very obvious
way. So bad.
That's the worst way to get hurt. The celebration injury.
Ooh, the Grammatica.
Oh my gosh. It's just so bad. And this dude starts limping. I can't remember what school it was, but it was that one also went viral. But no one, fortunately, in the NFL tried to duplicate that yesterday.
Did you see the kid that was trying to kick the field goal? I think they were at Indiana for the college game day.
It's about last week?
Yeah.
Yes, and he slips
behind the area and it like blows out his knee. They have to bring in another guy to kick. Like they're like, hey, what's wrong with Bill? Oh, I think he blew out his knee over there.
The college kid looking to win the free money or scholarship money or whatever.
Blows out his knee.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any type of injury insurance in a moment like that. No. I think Pat McAfee just kind of picks you up and throws you off to the side and they bring somebody else in.
I think that you sign an injury waiver to do that, don't you?
You're probably right.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think so. But congratulations to that college football wide receiver Incarnate Word. And he's now a legend forever. I thought the college football quote of the weekend goes to head coach Manny Diaz for the Duke Blue Devils. They took an L to the Miami Hurricanes. I believe the playmaker Michael Irvin was out there.
He was
rabid and rambunctious, leading his team to victory once again. But the head coach, Manny Diaz, he was the head coach for the Hurricanes a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So now he's back in Miami taking on his former team as the coach of Duke. And the quote is, does this make any sense to you guys? He says, there's a great saying, no man crosses the same river twice before he's not the same man. And it's not the same river. And that's really the way I look at it.
Wow. Okay. That's a very unique life philosophy.
I don't know how Manny Diaz keeps getting head coaching jobs. He's not even a very good defensive coordinator.
Because he gets fired and then he saves the defense and then he gets an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Man. You leave him at a place long enough, you'll realize, yeah, that he's not that good of a defensive coordinator.
I have no idea what it is that he was going for there, but he botched it. That was one of those graphics where
he messed it up.
Is a graphic. Like they put up, like he could have fixed it. This wasn't like he was live in a microphone and he screwed up the old saying that he lives by that he doesn't remember, and then you're like, crap, I feel
just
bad
don't
for
get
him.
Fooled again.
This was a planned quote that the broadcast threw up as a graphic. He could have edited this 100 times if he wanted to. And the quote is, again, Broadus, there's a great saying, no man crosses the same river twice before he's not the same man, and it's not the same river. And that's really the way I look at it. We're all just as confused, if not more so, than we were.
Do we know the origin of this?
I have no idea where this made up.
Sounds like Confucius, maybe of origin.
Fortune cookie, maybe.
I think so.
Maybe it was a fortune cookie. He's a big Panda Express guy.
I'll tell you what, he hangs out at the Chinese buffet with me. He gets a lot of fortune cookies.
Tears it up.
They bring you extra.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was an eventful weekend.
I moved my fortunes around. I'm like, I don't like this one. Give me another one.
We don't even have time to get into all of these things right now, but like,
oh yeah, you do.
Sean stacked it up with a tweet yesterday. He says one of the craziest weekends, and we haven't even seen kickoff yet because this was like at 9 a.m. yesterday morning before the football Sunday. And he says you have the Zeke stuff, mm-hmm. you have the Joel Embiid altercation, whatever the heck went down there.
Did he punch a reporter? Or he push him?
Well, the guy was talking about deceased relatives.
I didn't see what happened. I didn't see the push him.
I do think that might be crossing some lines.
Okay. Speaking of getting personal, and something's in the water and filthy because you had Jason Kelce being ambushed by an anti-Travis Kelce gentleman, calling him all sorts of slurs.
That was at State College.
He grabs his phone and Hulk smashes it into the ground. That video was crazy. You had Drake versus DeMar DeRozan at the Raptors game over the weekend as well. And then the one that I keep seeing, but I have done no investing in to know what it is, but Peanut the Squirrel.
Oh, so, my goodness.
What's up with Peanut the Squirrel? Story.
What a think it got wild removed, weekend. Right? Removed?
And he got killed.
House. Yeah, from the house.
Euthanized.
And his buddy, his raccoon buddy.
Yeah, that's not even cool, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, really minding his business, being taken care of.
Yeah.
Really being taken care of. And you
in
come
an
take
animal
the darn
sanctuary.
Yeah, yeah, man.
What?
The worker got bit, so they're like, well, we got to put the darn thing.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Got to see if it's got rabies or something, so we got to euthanize it immediately.
But they weren't minding their business. They would have minded their business. It would have been alive right now. Yeah. It's not like the man had a viper or something in his house. He had a darn squirrel, dog.
Adorable squirrel, too, from squirrel. The photos I've seen.
And they're like, well, you can't have that. We got to come get that at your house.
Couldn't you just claim it's your what is it? Your
emotional support
squirrel?
Yeah,
your emotional support squirrel.
I mean, you can claim, but you got some paperwork.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. You can't just let
true.
People adopt animals, you know? Like they're from Earth too. Yeah. We could get along with them. You know what I mean?
Well, let's close it down with some happiness. We do have the playmaker Michael Irvin doing a, even though he's a week late, Halloween weekend was last weekend. He decided to go all out for his Joker costume. Did you see it? The photo's incredible. And all of a sudden I'm seeing trending on Twitter, the Coker. And I'm like, what is that? Did something happen to Larry Coker? Did he pass away? But no,
really
it was
good.
The playmaker in an all-out Joker costume.
The makeup's great.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. Yeah. I mean, hit it out the park there.
He probably won.
The jacket.
I could see him winning a contest with that. Nice little look.
Yeah,
he's worn that jacket on the NFL Network a couple of times.
he's got the heater hanging from his lip and everything. Really went all out with
that's
it.
Great.
So shout out to him.
Right on. Well, there it is. Best of the weekend with Eric Chiafalo. We have the Mike McCarthy press conference on deck here. NFL News the Day's right around the corner, as well as Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40, where he's taking a look at the film and can tell you what went right and wrong from yesterday's game against the Falcons. Okay, Mike McCarthy press conference coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.